Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask you as we look at this great event of the healing of the lame man and what Peter preached afterwards, Lord, help us to hear your word. We pray that we would see the great power of Jesus Christ as it really is, that we'd be humbled before it, that we would depend upon it, and that we would seek it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, you may remember that we saw that Peter preached the gospel, the good news, Jesus is Lord. And you may remember that since the beginning, since the days of Adam, sin and chaos and death and hell have ruled over our world. But Jesus is now risen from the dead as Lord, and that's good news for the world. It's good news for you and me. We no longer have to live under the power of sin and the devil and death and judgment. But we can repent and turn to Christ and have that great future eternity with him in a renewed creation. And you may remember as well that Peter was not only promising in Jesus' name a great future in the new creation, he was also promising the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit now, life in the kingdom now, for everyone who turns to Jesus. And those two aspects of the gospel, the future hope that we look forward to and the present reality of living under Jesus' rule, permeate the whole New Testament and certainly this present passage. So we're going to try and unpack it. We're going to do a bit of a Bible study to start off to try and pull this passage apart and see what it's saying. It's also a lazy way for me to do a talk because I get you to do some of the work. And so we're going to see first in the verses 1 to 16 how Jesus' reign is shown in the healing of the lame man. And just before we do our Bible study, just to sketch out verses 1 to 10, they're very straightforward. Lame man gets healed in Jesus' name when they're on their way to Evensong. And then verses 11 to 16, Peter do what the apostles usually do when they're explaining the gospel to Jews, and they tell the story of the Old Testament and say that God has raised Jesus to life again. Now the unusual feature is in verses 12 and 16. At verse 12, Jesus says, "It wasn't John and myself who healed the lame man." Verse 16, he says, "It was done in the name of Jesus. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." What he's saying is that it is Jesus. He's not only risen from the dead, he's still alive today, and it's him who has done this healing. And I suppose sometimes we might see the healings in the New Testament and think maybe they're just an attention-grabbing exercise, a bit like when I went out on the streets on the St. George's Festival and I had a sketch board and, you know, I tried to do some painting to grab attention. Well, maybe they did a healing in the same sort of way. But really, to understand it properly, we need to see it in its whole Bible context. So that's what we're going to do now. Now, I've got some bits of card, and what I'd like us to do, really, is just start off, just in verses 17 to 26, what people, what persons, is that right? One of these? Probably not. No. But it's all right, I can write small or something. It'll be all right, the Lord will provide. Cover, welcome. Nice to see you. We're in Acts chapter 3, if you've got a Bible near you, page 1098. And now, can you just have a look through, didn't know I was using them. Can you just have a look through at verses 17 to 26 and tell me what people or persons are mentioned? So when you spot one, just call it out. Yeah, rulers and authorities. That's good. That's actually one that I miss. Well, tell you what, I'll leave that one out because they're a subset of another group. You weren't meant to say that, Rob. Thanks very much. Okay, go on. Bang out some more. God. Yeah. Sorry. Prophets. Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm again going to include one of those later. Some of these sort of come up in different guises as well. Let me just bung that up for now. Again, any more? Sorry? Families, yeah, all the families of the earth. And hold on to that thought. We will come back to it. Any others? Moses, yeah. I think what I'll do, I'll just pop Mo down there, because he's one of the prophets telling about things that were going to happen. Any others? Sorry? Christ, yeah. Now, you mentioned God before. Again, I'm not including him simply because he is the story of the Old Testament. You know, everything that happens through him. But I'm going to put Jesus up there. Any others? Sam? Yeah? And I'll put Sam and Co, because it's Samuel and as many of the prophets. Any others? Sorry? Brothers? No, but we will... I think... Yeah, we'll come back to that. Any others? Brilliant. Abe? You'll see why I'm picking and choosing in a little while. It'll make sense. Okay, any others? Now, you see that prophets is actually mentioned a few times. In verses 18, and verses 21, verse 24, and Moses as one of them, verse 22. Now, can I just ask, first of all, what all these different people, what's said about all these different people? So, first of all, let's go for the prophets. What do they say? And there's a few different things. Proclaim these days, yeah? I'll put that down as the days of Christ, or, you know, these. It's quite general, isn't it? So, any others? Yeah, Christ suffer and repent, and again we'll come back to that one, sorry? Okay, yeah. And, well, what other things did he say through them? We've got, he spoke of these days and that the Christ would suffer. You're not going to be able to see my writing anyway. I don't know why I'm bothering, but there we go. Yeah, that's another one. Raise up a prophet. Yeah. And we'll, I guess we'll bear that in mind for the repentance thing later. And now I've got one more thing. Yeah. Verse 25. Yeah. Now, who was that said to? Abraham. Okay, so, and who, so the promise of blessing to Abraham, who was going to be blessed? Offspring? Yeah. Okay, so offspring and flowing on to all the families of the earth. Yeah, and one more thing I've got in verse 21 that the prophet spoke about. Yeah, so what I'm going to do is, under, you'll see what I'm doing in a moment, fiddling down here. First of all, under Christ, we've learnt that he must suffer, and raise as a prophet, and that he will return and restore. Told you wouldn't be able to read my writing. Abraham, blessing, promised for offspring and all families, and the prophets. Sorry, my writing is terrible. Okay, but having spoken about them, you might be reminded. Okay, here we go. Abraham, you may remember when we did our Bible overview last year, that we basically went through this story. Abraham was given a promise of blessing by God. And it was a blessing that was going to come to his offspring. That's what that squiggly word is there. and that would then flow out to all the families of the earth. And then Moses and Samuel and the other prophets came along and they spoke about lots of things. They said that a new prophet would be raised up. They spoke of the days of Christ, of the kingdom. They said that the Christ must suffer, and they looked forward as well to the day when all things would be restored, when Eden would come back. And then as we come to Jesus, we find that he did indeed suffer, and he was raised, and that he's going to restore all things. But there's one more word that we've missed out in verse 20. And I'll tell you it is. He says, repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So I want to include another section, and it makes sense of the time that we're living in at the moment. Is Jesus, we know he suffered and raised and will restore all things when he comes from heaven. But in the meantime, there's the possibility of times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. So he talks about three things. He says that we can be forgiven, that time, if we turn to Christ, that times of refreshing can come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who will restore all things. And this is what he's offering to the Jews who turn to Christ now. Times of refreshing. Now, where into this whole scheme does the healing of the lame man fit? Times of refreshing. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and we would want to match up really the times of refreshing with the blessing, and it's available now to the Jews at the time Peter was speaking, and it's going to go out to all the families of the earth, which is what you see in the rest of the Acts story. And does that all make sense? First of all, do say if not, if there's something that looks a bit confusing or not sure about, or anything you want to disagree with, feel free. Alright, well, we'll go on with a charitable assumption towards myself for now. You're not sure, Ruth? You're bearing with me for now. Okay. Appreciated. What we're looking forward to? We're looking forward to the day when God will restore all things, and we get to paradise. The day will come when God will wipe every tear away, and there'll be no more crying, no more death, no more pain, all those wonderful things that we read about at the end of the book of Revelation. Eden will be restored, paradise regained. But in the meantime, it is possible for there to be times of refreshing, times of refreshment from the presence of the Lord. And the healing of the lame man is an example. It's a foretaste of the refreshing, of the restoration at the end. Now, sometimes when I'm sort of walking through the kitchen, maybe of an evening, Galit will be cooking up a big batch of something that's going to go into the freezer, and she'll be excited about some recipe, and she'll say, "Oh, taste this!" And whether I want to taste it or not, actually, I will be made to taste what it is. But it's always very good, and then I taste it and I think, "Oh, yum!" I look forward to that meal when it finally going into the deep freeze. But one day it's going to come out of the deep freeze, and I will get to eat it. And I look forward to that. And that's really how we are to understand the miracles of Jesus, whether done in his own ministry on earth or through his apostles. They're signs of his authority, signs of his reign, signs of his restoring work that he'll complete at the end of time, but that he even does in lives in some measure now. It's not just that he does these things as signs of his power over everything, just to show, well, I can do anything. It's a particular thing that he does. He does restoring work. And verses 25 to 26, Peter says, this is what God promised Abraham all those years before. It's available to the Jews then and now. These blessings will, in our time, be poured out on people like us. So what's the point? Well, the first thing that we want to take and apply this to ourselves with is to see that the times of restoration will surely come. And so we want to turn to Christ. That's really Peter's message that he's bringing to the Jews who are listening to him. Peter's performed this healing in Jesus' name, and it shows, yes, the times of restoration will certainly come. Jesus is already doing works of restoration in people's lives. And, you know, if I've had a little foretaste of my wife's cooking, then I want to make sure that I'm in on the night that dinner is served, because I know it's going to be good. And that's really what he's saying. He's saying, turn, repent, you know, because the day is coming when the full restoration will be here. So he says in verse 19, repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, and that he may send the Christ, verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things which were spoken of. Verse 25, 26, the blessing is there for you. Turn, and you will be blessed. Particularly, he's talking about in the time of restoration. But it is a very serious call as well. It's a very positive message, but it's a very serious call as well. Verses 22 to 23, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Turn, and you will be blessed. Ignore the voice, and you will be cut off from God's people and from the blessing promised to Abraham. So it's a very serious call. Of course, I think we're all believers today. We do want to make sure that we stay as believers and that we press on and hold to the course, because there is this wonderful future. And Peter's healing miracle of the lame man is a little surety, a little guarantee that that day will surely come. Jesus' reign has begun, and he will surely do what he did for the lame man for the whole world. And we don't want to be one of those who are cut off. And in the present, of course, there are many lame people who aren't healed, as this man was. We all have many weaknesses. And though we live under Jesus' rule and we're trying to live Jesus' way, then we don't actually live in the days of full restoration yet. All our prayers don't get answered. We're still engaged in the battle with sin. We're still facing temptation. We're all afflicted with all kinds of weaknesses that we wrestle with all the time as Christians. We only have to think, don't we, of the McCann family, who are praying committedly for Madeleine, as I imagine many of us are, and yet seeing really too little in answer to their prayers, and maybe their prayers won't be answered in this old creation. But we know that the day of restoration is certainly coming. And so let's not ignore Jesus, the new Moses, the new prophet. Let's keep humbly serving him. But the other side of the message is that times of refreshing can now come from the presence of the Lord. And that's part of what Peter is saying to the Jews he's talking to. He not only points to the restoration at the end, he also points to the times of refreshing that can come from the presence of the Lord now by his Holy Spirit. And surely we would want to include in those times of refreshing, if you want to know what they are, all the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The assurance of sins forgiven, as we believe that Jesus' death was truly for us, truly for me personally. The conviction that the day of restoration will come that gives hope in our hearts, even when going through the mill here on earth. Confidence that our prayers are heard by God because he loves us and he accepts us and he receives us. The transformation of our characters as the Holy Spirit destroys one idol after another in our lives, and as he brings forth the good fruit of love and joy and peace, and he gives us strength to endure when the going gets tough, and he gives us gifts to serve with, he gives us power to make our service effective, and that, yes, surely he doesn't work at them every time, but he does work miracles surely of healing and other remarkable answers to prayer. Many of us could tell of them. All these are foretastes, and I think probably most of us can say that we've tasted these things in some measure, that the times of refreshing have come to us. But at the same time, I hope that we wouldn't say we have received all the refreshing that we could possibly receive from God. I hope we wouldn't want to say, yes, my level of assurance and my sense of God's love towards me and towards all people is at the absolute maximum, that I fully have the cross applied to my life all the time, and that I'm full of love and joy and peace, that my character is made like Christ's fully already, that that my prayers are powerful and answered all the time. And so we want to make sure that we do have a high degree of expectation. Often, I think we are ready to say the kingdom is now and not yet. And because it's not yet, we shouldn't expect anything now. But the kingdom is now and not yet. And we need to make sure that we hold on to the now bit as well. And as we pray, we should dare to pray with confidence and with expectation. If we don't have expectation of the great power of God to bring times of refreshing even now, then our spiritual zeal will flag. We will think, well, I've got everything, so there's no point in pressing on to know the Lord better. I've got everything, I'll just trundle along. I'll be tempted to give up fighting against sin and trying to grow in Christ and to bear more good fruit of the Spirit, because I think this is as far as I'm ever going to get. I will not bother praying for salvation or for healing, for that matter, because I'll think, well, it's not going to happen now. So let's recognise too from this passage that Jesus reigns now. The time of restoration will surely come, so let's press on for that day. But the times of refreshing are available to us now. We've experienced them in some measure, and let's have a great expectation that God will do great things among us as we turn more and more to him and seek him and trust him more and more. So we're going to spend a moment in quiet and ask ourselves what we expect from the Lord. Do we expect him to be taking us forward more? Are we trusting him for the future? Let's just spend a moment in quiet. Lord Jesus, thank you that you reign and that your reign will be fulfilled and consummated. Thank you, Jesus, that we've all experienced the blessings of your reign. Lord, we pray that you will sustain us, help us to hold on, keep listening to you, turning to you, looking forward to that day when your reign will be fulfilled. And Lord, you reign now. Lord, help us always to remember that and to hear this promise of times of refreshing. Lord, help us to have a great degree of expectation of your power, so that we will not flag spiritually, but that we will be ever more committed to coming to know you better, to grow in you, to serve you better, and to see your power at work on earth. Lord, we pray that you will take us to that time of restoration and that you will bless us with times of refreshing. In Jesus' name, amen.